Money Where's Fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network as we shake things up. Let's do this thing. We enjoy the new start time, 5 o'clock. Get you ready for the big games. We got a ton of picks for you on the program today. We got some great guests this evening. I used to say this afternoon, this evening, although it could be afternoon, depending on where you're watching us right now. Steve Merrill steps up and in as he does every Monday. The Tony Cicada is going to join us. We'll talk some Monday, Thursday DFS contest. And surprisingly enough, although there's no promises, no guarantees here, surprisingly enough, the Monday, Thursday contest doesn't suck and make you want to put a bullet in your brain. You know, we get Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. That's not bad. Although I can't promise it's going to be a good game because oftentimes we have expectations of a good game and that doesn't happen. So we can't promise you that. We got the Saints and the Falcons on Thursday night, which should be a very, very cool football game. So Tony Cicada is going to join us. But let's talk about some entertaining football. Joe Lisi. Some big games, Gabe. Joe Lisi is going to join us to talk some college football with Joe Lisi. I love college football, and I love joining Gabe and talking college football. It's not bad, huh? I can do a better one, actually. Joe's kind of sensey. He's going to go, oh, come on, you're busting my balls there, Gabe. I'm Joe Lisi. Tune in to college football with me and Rich Sermonello for all the massive and huge games of the week. Joe Lisi is going to join us. We're going to talk some college football. We got a big game this week, man. Army-Navy, and we got some FCF playoffs, but we're going to talk about the four and Ohio State fans complaining right now and stuff. Shut up, man. You know, last year, you didn't win, and Penn State won, and you got in, and you got shut out, right? So, and I think that could have played into this as well. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. Football. We got some college basketball. Speaking of Ohio State. Ohio State and Michigan. Big Ten conference play started a lot earlier than normal this year. I don't know, man. I guess I'm just getting old. That's just a fact. But better to be old than to be dead. But, you know, in my day, I walked to school in the snow for 3 miles. I actually did, but that's besides the point. It doesn't matter. When I look back on that, I'm kind of thinking that was kind of reckless parenting, to be honest with you. I used to walk through this, like, forest, like, as a 7-year-old alone to school. It was dark and stuff. It's amazing how times have changed. but, yeah, my day, conference basketball started in January, man, right? January. Like, this is way over the top right now. It is what it is. We've got some conference basketball on the board. So we got Steve Merrill. We're going to break down the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers from a betting perspective. We'll talk some basketball with Merrill. Tony Cicada to talk about tonight and Thursday's game from a DFS perspective. Joe Lisi talking college football. Sounds like a pretty damn good show to me. The only thing that can make it better if it was time for Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, unfortunately, a lot of people ruined our Sunday yesterday. Let's start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Great job by the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Andy Reid relinquished play calling duties. Matt Nagy took over. Boom. They score a quick 14 points against Gangrene and the New York Jets. Unfortunately, they blew that lead. And I don't know, how many leads did I blow yesterday? 16 leads? 18 leads? How many leads is that for you? You know, it's like the dude Ned or Mel or something with a short name on Seinfeld. How many Twix bars is that for you today? It's a Clark bar. It's not a Clark bar. It's a Twix. Twix! You know, what are you going to do, man? I picked the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith threw for like nearly 400 yards. What, 366 yards? 4 touchdowns? You're up 14-0. You're up late in the football game, 35-31. You figure, hey, we're going to win this game, but no. The Kansas City Chiefs ruined my Sunday, but they weren't alone. And it's funny because when that happened earlier today, I was like, well, that's not that bad, man. I'm winning a lot of other bets. We're doing really well. I've had a great, like, two-week run, and I pretty much burned it, man. You know the scene from, like, Batman? The only good one, you know, the Dark Knight, the Joker, Heath Ledger. When he burns the money, that's me. I might as well just burn the money. I might as well just like paint my face with makeup and like cut my my cheek with a scar. You want to know how I got this scar? I got this scar by betting on the NFL. That's how I got this scar. All right. You know how I got scars? I do have scars. Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills organization's one big scar on society and humanity. Now, the Buffalo Bill fans did bring their A game yesterday. Another dildo. Yeah, why not, huh? Hey, that's one more dildo on the field, and yeah, touchdowns in the game. It's getting old, man. It's getting old. And maybe you Bill fans, like, just to mix it up, should, like, not get wasted and not throw dildos on the field for once. I don't know. I'm just stating. I like Tyrod Taylor. I love Tyrod Taylor. Good guy, Tyrod Taylor. He tries hard, but 65 yards passing is not going to cut it. A devastating opening drive. Buffalo Bills go down the field 66 yards meticulously, and then they throw an interception. For the love of God, why? Why are you throwing the freaking football? I like to punch Rick Dennison in the face, man. I don't know what it is. I always hate the Buffalo Bill offensive coordinators. Maybe I should just hate them all. Like, you know, it's just too much. I'm all fired up for a big game against the New England Patriots. The Buffalo Bills can make the playoffs. Maybe they could surprise us and actually, you know, actually beat the New England Patriots. No, you know what? The defense showed up at first. But unfortunately, the defense, forgot to cover Rob Gronkowski. You know, remember, you know, that sort of big jarhead, that big ugly goofbag looking douche wad, that guy. It's hard to miss. Look at him. Yeah, this guy, it's hard to miss. Yeah, you know, does that look like the face of a man that's sorry for causing a concussion for someone? So when I said they threw a dildo on the field, do we have a picture of the dildo? I like these new pictures. No, I was actually going to send a picture to into the dildo. I was going to bring a dildo in, actually. Then I figured, Sean's going to freak out and say, nah, you can't show a dildo. I was just going to say, look, I got the dildo that they threw. But now you can't. Can I even say dildo? Yeah, it's a sanctioned word. Let's just make sure this doesn't end up on the Dish Network best of the week this week. All right, speaking of dildos, Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, real class act, Rob, there. You're a class act, buddy. You know, you basically, you know, you sucker dive bomb a defenseless player whose face is in the turf, who's half the size of you, who's a rookie. And then after he says, oh, that's not who I am, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, that makes it all right. I think Casey Anthony said she was sorry. I think Charles Manson said he was sorry. I think Hitler at times was probably sorry. Hitler wasn't sorry. He was just sorry he screwed things up. I don't think he was sorry. But I'm not buying this sorry crap, man, all right? I'm dead serious when I say this, and I'm speaking clearly. This isn't an angry rant or anything like that, and I know that God's not going to like this very much, but God believes in revenge. There's all kinds of revenge stories in the Bible. The Bible is built on revenge. The Bible is a revenge story. If you turn the Bible into a movie, now I'm really offending people. I went from dildos to Bible breakdowns. If you convert the Bible into a movie, it's called revenge, okay? But I hope that I hope next week when the Patriots are going to the stadium for the game that there's a bus accident. And I hope that a car like smashes into the Patriots team bus but just hits where Gronkowski's sitting. I'm not wishing injury on anyone else on the team. All right? I may well wish ill will on the rest of you, but pestilence. But no. I'm just hoping, like, just by chance where you're sitting, Gronkowski, like some dumb kid on a moped crashes into you, you get off the bus. Just something, you know. But anyways, I don't think I'll have to wait long for Rob Gronkowski to get hurt. And karma's a bitch, Rob. And you know what? I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh like Elaine Bennis did when she heard that George Costanza has a place in the Hamptons. I'm going to laugh and laugh. Ha 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 ha. Like that. But more diabolical. Ah! Something like that. You're a tool. You're a tool, Gronkowski. And I mean this. I wish injury on you. I do. Next time that your knee gets popped, I'm going to laugh. Next time your big, fat, Bud Light-filled, jar, jock-looking, dumbass face gets concussed, I'm going to laugh. And I'm going to say, that's for Trey White. But it's unfortunate that nobody on the Buffalo Bills have any balls to do anything about it. Hey, Preston Brown, you come in there. Where's the flag? You know what? Whatever happened to the Ron Hextall days, man? Whatever happened to I'll knock your head off? You know, what happened to accountability? I'm from the buddy, you know, really? If the Buffalo Bills don't intentionally try to injure Rob Gronkowski the next time they play, I don't think I can be a Bills fan anymore. I can accept you guys losing. I can't accept this. So Tom Brady has more touchdown passes in the last 20 years than any Bills quarterback does. Rob Gronkowski's from Buffalo, comes back to Buffalo, runs wild all over the field, concusses our best defensive player and a rookie of the year, probably defensive rookie of the year. And what do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then you probably went out to the club after, you know, after Chippewa Street. You guys got punked, man. You got punked, all right? You know, Rick Dennison, you're a clown, offensive coordinator. You make Nate Hackett look good. And McDermott, I don't know, man. Why don't you find a shirt that's a little tighter? Yeah, we get it, dude. You work out. Good for you. You know what you don't work out, McDermott? Your brain! So sick of the Buffalo Bills crap. Like, really? You guys have been an embarrassment and a scar to society ever since the Super Bowl era. And even then, you were the butt of, like, everything. You know, 4 Super Bowl losses in a row. It's painful. I'm sick of it, man. And I'm sick of you Buffalo Bill fans just getting wasted all the time and not caring. You know, it's like the game's just a sideshow now. Let's throw a dildo. Let's get wasted in the parking lot. I get wasted in the parking lot. I don't want to slam myself through a table. You know what? I'm slamming my head through a table watching this crap. The Buffalo Bills, you've ruined my Sunday again. Hey, this is a great, great day yesterday. I got a prop, Drew Brees, over under 269.5 passing yards. Finishes with exactly 269. What are the mathematical odds of that happening? You know, you could lose a half point bet, but no, 269.5. Just think, like, all those little incompletions here and there. 1 yard. 1 yard, man. Oh, yeah, I had a long field goal prop yesterday, over under 46.5 for the Baltimore Raven game. I think Tucker kicked 2 46-yarders. Which leads me into the Sunday nighter. You know, oh, the Sunday nighter was supposed to be great. Oh, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks. You know, what a pile of crap that was, man. Carson Wentz turning the ball over. You know, the most corrupt, rigged, officiated game, like, freaking ever. Tony Corrente. Yeah, remember Tony Corrente? Yeah, here he is. Hey, Tony, there's the guy. Wasn't he the best man at Mike Pereira's wedding? Oh, that's right, he was, the head of officiating. There's no accountability. Like Tony Corrente, you know, he could ref like a Pop Warner game with like kids or something like that. And even then, he'd upset parents. But, you know, you think about it. Hockley, Corrente, who's the other stooge? Sterator, Vinkovich. Whatever, Vitch. You all suck, all right? You all suck, and you're all there every year. I don't even know where to start with this game. I don't even know where to start. Where would he go here? Oh, yeah. There was a play on first down where the Eagles had a first down. They reviewed it. Jeffrey was about 2 yards past the sticks, but didn't matter. No, they didn't overturn that. Russell Wilson threw an illegal forward pass, like about 25 yards past the line of scrimmage, but... No, they didn't call that live. And then Doug Peterson doesn't challenge it. Later in the game, there's a pass interference, long, big bomb pass interference play against Seattle. Corrente picks it up. No, their feet got tangled. The only thing I like to tangle is like a rope around your freaking neck, Corrente. You suck, dude. You're a disgrace. You know what? Like, you know, I don't know how much I can, like, clarify this, but if anyone knows Tony Corrente is watching this, maybe he is someone in his family or something like that, let him know. let them know. Let your uncle, let your father, let your brother, let your sister know. Say, you know what, Tony? I see this guy on the internet saying that you're really bad at your job, and I agree. Yeah, how about the game earlier in the day? I think it was Vinkovich and or is it Sterator in the Carolina game? Yeah, New Orleans Saints are about 5 yards offside. Not one referee sees it. Of course not. Why not? The NFL screws the same teams over and over all the time. The Detroit Lions, Carolina Panthers, Buffalo Bills. Man, speaking of dildos, they're used to them. Who ruined your Sunday?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Business, man. I went a little long off the top because I'm sitting down now. You know, before the Who Ruined Your Sunday, I was standing up. I wasn't going to stand up and yell for 15 minutes, but I can certainly sit down and yell for 15 minutes, as I just did off the top of the program. Let's bring in Steve Merrill before Tony Cincata and Joe Lisi join us on the show today. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. What's going on, Steve?
Sitting down is good for you, Gabe. That gives you more longevity.
Yeah, you know, but you can't be too inactive, though, right? There's a fine line.
You got to keep the blood flow to the legs. So stand up in between segments. That might be the way to go.
Yeah, I got blood flowing. I don't know where it's flowing. I don't know if it's going in the right direction, but I got a lot of blood flowing. My blood pressure wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, though. I got it the other day. It was 105. I guess the normal people are like 120, 125 or something like that. So I was a little off, but it wasn't all that bad. But one of the reasons that my blood pressure's had issues in the past has been because of Andy Dalton. But we'll get to that game in a second. So week 13 wraps up tonight in Ohio, Steelers and Bengals. Underdogs were 8-7 against the spread on the week. Favorites were 9-6 straight up, but only 7-8 against the spread. Home teams were 11-4 straight up, 9-6 against the spread. Overs, slight win for the over bettors this week, but when you add up the juice, not. 8 overs, 7 unders, coming into a pretty low total in tonight's football game with the Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I had 3 dogs yesterday and only managed to cash with the Seahawks. I had Buffalo as another one. I thought that was actually a pretty good spot to go against the Patriots. They're just rolling right now. But I finally got my fading the Philadelphia Eagles spot to work for me. This is a crazy line adjustment. I mean, who would have thought when the season began that the Eagles would be more than a field goal favorite on the road at Seattle in a primetime game? And same thing tonight, Dave. Cincinnati was a 4-point road dog earlier this year at Pittsburgh. Now they're a 4-point home dog in the rematch just a month and a half later.
Yeah, so this game, listen, this game's interesting. It's a big game for the Cincinnati Bengals as far as the playoffs are concerned. The AFC playoff picture is a muddled one. Nobody's really out of it all that much. Well, some teams are out of it, but you know, basically, if you're 5-6, you still got a puncher's chance. Yet the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have to win tonight's football game. But you're right; they're getting quite a bit of respect here from the odds maker. Yet the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though they're winning football games, they're not really blowing anybody out. I mean, 2 weeks ago, 10-point road favorites, 3-point win against the Colts. Last week, another. Another not very impressive win as, 14-point favorites against the Green Bay Packers. Yet it's a different situation tonight considering it's a division game. You know, you can see them not getting up for the Colts. You can see them, we're playing Brett Hundley and the Packers. I get how it went the way that it did. But, you're going to get a more focused Pittsburgh Steelers football team tonight.
Yeah, I mean, their last really good opponent they played, you can make an argument, was Jacksonville back on October 8th when they lost 30-9. As a 7-point home favorite, but that was probably the worst game Ben Roethlisberger's ever played. The team had 5 turnovers. He had a couple pick sixes. Their win against Kansas City the following week was an underdog win. I actually had a best bet on them in that game. Not looking as impressive now. The Chiefs have been just terrible over the past month, losing outright to the Jets yesterday. They did beat Cincinnati pretty handily in that first game, 29-14. But, yeah, I mean, at Indianapolis, Tennessee, Green Bay, they haven't exactly been playing murderer's row in recent weeks.
No, and they haven't been putting anyone away. And that game, 29-14, was closer than the score would indicate. But, you know, the one thing that's funny, Ben Roethlisberger, especially in the fantasy world, everybody talks about, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's the dichotomy, the home and road splits. Yet the fact of the matter is the Pittsburgh Steelers have become a good road team over the last 2 years. They were good on the road last year, and they can continue into this year. They've won 5 of their last 6 games on the road. They, you know, the only game they lost was in week 3 at the Chicago Bears. Yet we have the Cincinnati Bengals in a pretty good spot. Bengals are 6-1 against the spread, Steve. The last 7 times they've gotten points on this turf, on this field. But that one loss was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Bengals are in a good situational spot here. You know, they're riding a couple of game win streak. They're still in the playoff picture. But, you know, the Bengals just continuously fall short in big football games. They just do, and they have.
Yeah, now you talk about the total around 43, which is obviously a pretty low total for a modern NFL game these days. And it's for good reason. Both defenses have been solid this year. Cincinnati's been very good on defense, giving up just 5 yards of play, giving up just 17.5 points per game at home. The problem's been the offense. They're averaging just 16.5 points per game at home this year, just 18 points overall. So that's going to be the key to this game, I think, is if Cincinnati can get some offense going, because they've struggled this year at times.
Yeah, and, you know, these two teams have played each other. Look, they got to – it's funny, actually. It's 43 tonight. They got to exactly 43 last time they played with the 29-14 score. But there's been – you know, it's the low 20s will win you this football game generally. But it is such a low number. I just want to rattle off the scores in past years here. So, yeah, it was 29-14, 24-20, 24-16, 18-16. Yeah, so the last game went over because the total was 40, but yeah, it's 3-1 to the under in the last 4, and it's actually 5-1 to the under in the last 6 times these two teams have played.
Right, and if you look back over the last 6 games, 2 meetings prior, they did put up 44, but only one of the last 6 games has had more than 44. So it's tiptoeing right around that number tonight with no question.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers have been one of the best under teams in the National Football League this year. They're 8-3 to the under, with actually the last 2 games going over the number. It's a tough one. I'm teasing the Cincinnati Bengals tonight, Steve. I'm going to take the Bengals up to plus 11. They don't often get blown out in this spot. And the last 2 times that they played Pittsburgh here, you know, they lost by 4 and they lost by 2. So lost by a combined 6 points to the Steelers on this field. I'm going to tease the Cincinnati Bengals up to plus 11, 7-point teaser, and then I've got over 36.
Sorry about that. I had a little phone issue there with the mute button as I was looking at some numbers here. I think the total could go either way. I think that's a sharp number. I like the Bengals on the teaser up to plus 11. I think you could tease it under 50 or vice versa. Yeah. You could tease it over 36 and probably make it work either way with the total.
Yeah, it could be one of these middle jobs. You're right. I think it could get there. Me and Cam talked about it. That's a lot of gap. And almost every time they play, Steve, that's the window it lands in between 38 and 50. I mean,
you got a lot of key numbers working there. 51's a key number. I'd like to get 51 working, yeah. But you got a lot of other key numbers in 37, 41, 44, 45, et cetera.
Well, look, In the last 10 times that they played, it's only gone over 50 twice. We have to go back to 2015, 33-20, Pittsburgh Steelers win, and 2014, Steelers won 42-21. See, I think you can middle this. I would suggest an under tease, but with my luck, like Steve said, it'll land up 51 somehow, 27-24. So I'd rather tease. You know, like in this spot, in today's modern NFL, Steve, I'd rather tease it to the over 36 than an under, because you never know when stuff's going to open up. There are a lot of skill position players on these teams.
Although the one thing I will say, though, is if you're teasing Cincy, and I think we both agree that's probably the better tease, taking them up to plus 11, you know, you probably need a somewhat defensive game because they're, like I said, averaging just 15 points a game. So if one team's going to open it up, put a lot of points up, more likely Pittsburgh, and that means you're probably in trouble with that Cincinnati play at that point.
I know. It's a tough game. It's an interesting game. But, yeah, you know, they've just absolutely owned them, guys. The Steelers have owned them. They've won how many in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They won 5 in a row and 8 of the last 9. 8 of the last 9 and 5 in a row, and they've won 4 straight games in Cincinnati. So what do you like, Steve? What are you doing in this game?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, the line was 4 on the road. Now it's 4 at home. That always catches my attention. And we had a similar situation with the Redskins-Cowboy game on Thursday night. You know, Dallas had been a 3-point road favorite a month and a half ago and wins by double digits. And then all of a sudden, they're a 1.5-point home dog in the primetime game Thursday night. We saw how that turned out. So I don't think it'll be interesting to see if this is an overreaction, you know, within a few weeks. And what's more interesting about it, Gabe, it's not like the Cowboys are on an 0-3 run. Cincinnati's actually on a 2-0 straight up, 3-0 spread run entering tonight, and they played Pittsburgh just a couple games before that. So it's not like the Bengals have exactly been playing bad football since then.
No, and since then, exactly, Andy Dalton's actually thrown for 9 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions. All right, we got a couple minutes left. College basketball, man, it's strange to see these rivalry games so early in the season and conference play starting so quickly out of the gate here. But we got this isn't actually a conference game, this one, but it is a rivalry. Florida State and Florida on the board tonight. Thing that catches my eye here, Steve, is just the sick, gaudy numbers that both these teams put up. Seminoles put up 88 points a game. They give up 68 points a game. The Florida Gators are averaging 99 points a game, but they're giving up 80. Big difference in the schedules that these teams have played, though. You know, the Noles are 6-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread, but they really haven't played anybody yet. Meanwhile, the Gators are 5-1, but they went through a tough gauntlet in that tournament. They played Stanford, they played Gonzaga, and they played Duke, and the Duke and Gonzaga games were both real classics. But they're laying 10 right now, total 163.5. I do like the over here.
Yeah, these games have gone over the last 2 seasons in this head-to-head in-state rivalry, and totals though were 138.5 and 148.5. However, they did still put up 161 points last year and going over that total. And as you said, these two offenses are off the chart. I mean, Florida State, 89 points. Gators averaging just under 100 per game this season after 6 games, which is pretty remarkable.
All right, and quickly on these, we got some Big Ten stuff. Michigan and Ohio State, big weekend for Ohio State, even though they didn't make it to the playoff. But they win the game. They won a basketball game and a football game against Wisconsin. Now they're hosting Michigan tonight. Ohio State are -2. And then we got the Badgers. You know, listen, the Badgers keep losing, but – you know, their losses, Baylor, UCLA, Xavier, Ohio State, and Virginia. You know, it's at some point, I think they get on track here. They're getting 5, 5.5 in these games. What do you think of the Big Ten games?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing that jumps out to me is that Ohio State's done very well against Michigan in recent meetings. Last year, they won outright as a 9-point dog. The year before, they won outright by 10 points as just a small 1.5-point favorite. So it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues. Yeah, Wisconsin's more interesting to talk about, though. I thought they had a chance against Virginia last week. You know, both teams love that slowdown style, and they still weren't able to hang in that game, which is a really bad sign in my book. They're now 0-3, both straight up and against the spread in road game season. You know, Penn State always seems to start fast, beat up on teams, and then struggle in conference play. But at this point of the season, it does look like they're playing better basketball. But I'm with you. I think Wisconsin's going to be a play-on team here pretty soon. They've had a really tough schedule.
All right, thanks for taking the time to be with us, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill. We're just going to take a quick break. Tony Cincata is going to join us. We're going to talk some NFL DFS.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
In the one and only, it's like the Ohio State, the Tony Cincata joins us. Tony, what's good?
The Ohio State left out in the cold. I hope I'm not like them. I am isolated by myself down here in Florida, so I kind of get the feeling of how the Ohio State fans feel.
Well, you know what? You're isolated in Florida, but you've got a better football team in your backyard than the crew in New York does right now. Is the Jacksonville Jags. Me and Cam Stewart talked about this on Red Heat and Rage Radio earlier in the day. You know, the Jags and the Titans have the same record, but I think the Jags are a better football team than the Titans are.
You know what's crazy is they play each other the last game of the year. That game will be in Tennessee, though, so that could decide home field advantage as they go and put that one together, because right now the Titans have the tiebreaker.
Amazing. Blake Bortles putting up some big numbers again, huh?
I keep telling people that. People don't realize Blake Bortles gets sacked more than any other quarterback in the history of the NFL the first 3 years of his career. I do not believe that he is a lower 20 quarterback. I think he's somewhere around the 20 range as far as quarterbacks go. And if Jacksonville does let him go at the end of the season, he's going to end up somewhere else, and he's going to be an okay quarterback. Like, I think he could be as good as Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That is a good comparison. So speaking of which, leads us into Andy Dalton. And, you know, it's kind of a surprise, Tony. The Monday-Thursday contest doesn't suck. Normally, I'm like, I don't want to play this. It's going to take me 4 hours to come up with a lineup. But this is, it could take you a little while because you got to make the right decisions as far as who you're going to take here. So let's blast through the quarterbacks. Drew Brees. So for the record, guys, it's, if you don't know, although you do, I'm sure, but if you don't, it's New Orleans and Atlanta. In Atlanta on Thursday night. And, of course, we have Pittsburgh at Cincinnati this evening. So the four quarterbacks, Drew Brees, $6,700. He's only topped 18 DraftKings points once in the last six games, guys, because of the devastating running back attack that they have going on. Matt Ryan, $6,400. Struggled versus the Vikings, but he's had big games versus the Saints in past years. Big Ben Roethlisberger, $6,300. Coming off, you know, a couple of big games for him. He's actually had his best fantasy games of the year over the last couple of weeks. Eight touchdowns in the last two games. And Andy Dalton, you know, Big Ben, $6,300. Matt Ryan, $6,400. Breeze is $6,700. And Andy Dalton, $5,300. No one wants Andy, but Andy Dalton, nine touchdown passes, zero interceptions in his last five games. What's your take on the quarterback situation?
I got to tell you the truth. I'm leaning towards Andy Dalton. If you look at it, you're 100% right on Drew Brees, right? Yesterday was the perfect game for Drew Brees in that matchup against Carolina. Carolina was great against running backs all season long, and with Kamara and Ingram still went off. But you didn't see him go down the field. He had that one touchdown pass to Michael Thomas, but he doesn't rely on throwing the ball 35, 40 times like he used to. Matt Ryan has been anemic. People in the fantasy industry make excuses for this guy all the time. Oh, he's getting a little better. He threw for 192 yards two games ago. How much better has he got?
There's too many There's too many 8 DK points and 11 DK points. And like you said, if you're lucky with Ryan, you'll get 18, 19 now. There's no upside with this guy anymore.
I'm going to play Andy Dalton. That Pittsburgh defense hasn't been great the last couple of games. Marginal quarterbacks have put up fantasy points against them. I'm going to use Andy Dalton in this game. I'm hoping Pittsburgh can score early against them, but it's usually one of these division games that are tight there. I'm going to go with Andy Dalton and then save the money and spend it elsewhere.
So Antonio Brown leads the National Football League. He's got 80 receptions. He's got 1,195 yards. This is interesting, though, Tony. Brown has faced the Bengals 15 times in his career, 14 regular season games and one playoff game. He's gone over 100 yards three times only.
Yep.
Only three times. The Bengals have done a good job of taking Brown out of the equation over the years. Brown's by far the most expensive guy here at $9,800. Julio Jones shut down by the Vikings. Two catches, 24 yards yesterday. Marshawn Lattimore status is a big one. There eventually his kid's going to come back, but it almost leads me right back into, you were just talking about Andy Dalton, and if you're going to take Dalton, you're getting AJ Green at 7200. I'd rather AJ at 7200 than Brown at 9800. Maybe that's just me. What's your take on the wide receiver situation?
I 100% agree. Not only do you have those numbers for Antonio Brown, he's banged up tonight, questionable with a foot injury, right? So we're looking at this game, and you can't take the chance on the number of snaps when we have other quality receivers out there. So I go AJ Green, and what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to hit a couple of the lower dollar receivers, because at running back, what I want to do is I want to play Le'Veon Bell, because I think he's going to get the work, right? And I want the two guys from the Saints. So I want Ingram and Kamara. So I'm going to go Julio Jones, and then I'm going to drop down to like a Mohamed Sanu opposite the, you know, the other end. And then I'll pick another second, maybe a Smith-Schuster with the injury to Antonio Brown, and have him pick up there. And that's how I'm going to put my team together.
I think Michael Thomas is going to start racking up touchdowns down the stretch here. He's starting to figure it out right now with the double teams. But the thing is, they run the ball so much. That's affecting him. But $7,100 for him, I wouldn't be opposed to squeezing him in here. The Saints should score some points against the Falcons, and it wouldn't surprise me if Thomas did get his. You mentioned the running back stuff, and, you know, yesterday I was going to play, you know, the late afternoon card. I ended up not doing. I got caught up in my bets. But I was actually going to put Kamara and Ingram just together. And I was like, can you really do this? But yes, you can. Because I was thinking about it.
You can.
I'm like, yeah, you know, people say, oh, you're crazy. You're playing two running backs for the same team. Everyone's talking about Kamara. You know, the guy, you know, 29 DK points. Ingram at 25.
I know.
It's like 53 combined points with the two of them. It's almost like, it's almost like you have to play both of them now.
As good as Kamara is, since the last 6 weeks, Ingram's the number two fantasy running back, number two behind Le'Veon Bell. So, I mean, he's the one putting up the numbers and getting the end zone. But Kamara's on a complete roll. That's why I think that you spend the money on the running backs, go cheap on wide receivers this week because you have three studs. I really think Pittsburgh's going to lean on Le'Veon Bell tonight.
What about squeezing in a Freeman at $5,800? It's amazing. There's all these big guys. Suddenly Freeman's only $5,800.
I'll tell you what, if you drop down, did you see how hot he was running? I watched some of that game. He hasn't looked that good all season long, and he was running really hard. You know, the Saints defense, they're a little banged up. They're not the same defense they were 4 weeks ago. I think if you're going to go anyone on Atlanta, to me, it would be Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 50, nice flex there, even. You know, $1,500, he's gonna make some plays. Like Tony said, he's refreshed, he's angry. You know, this kid plays hard. Like, he's going to want to put up some numbers when he gets back on the field. Big game, big game. And then finally, in closing, it's funny. Joe Mixon's always, like, seems like Joe Mixon really looks up to Le'Veon Bell. He's like, I'm better than he is. I just don't get the publicity, and I don't get the touches. And then Le'Veon Bell, actually, I've never heard anyone say this before. It's almost like a musician or something, Tony, or a comedian. Like, you're stealing my material. Le'Veon Bell's like, he stole my style. He's like, he goes, this guy tries to be me, even like steals my moves. And it's funny. So, you know, Mixon's coming in here. $5,100 for Mixon. Any interest?
No. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line has always been a problem with the running game. He's put it together the last couple games. He's getting all the work now out of the backfield. So it's not a bad play, but the rise and escalation of his price. And we haven't had any consistency whatsoever. You saw 28.5 last week, right? You got all excited. Well, he had 6.9 the week before, 11, 13, 12. Yeah, I'm going to forget that. There's too many quality backs out there.
You know, Tony, I enjoy the NBA DFS scene. It's tough, man, because you got to be perfect, basically, to win money. So, but it's still fun. But with that being stated, one thing that's not fun about the NBA is the injuries. And finding out who's going to be in and who's going to be out because they, you don't find out sometimes if it's 7 o'clock tip off, you're lucky. Oh, 6:40, you get word. And like a good example, like tonight with the Knicks, but I'm looking at the board tonight, NBA DFS. Now you and Dane will be coming on at 6 to help people break this down. 11 games in the NBA tonight. And I swear to God, I think every one of them's got major injury situations to break down.
Yeah, so basically Michael Beasley is going to get the start for the Knicks tonight. So he's going to have to be in your lineup because he's only $3,500. So he's going to benefit from that situation. DeMarcus Cousins, the last man standing in that game against Golden State, even though he's $11,000, you're going to have to put him in that contest and hope that game's not a blowout and DeMarcus Cousins stays in there. And they don't defend big men well. And then the Denver front court's been besieged with injuries. Yeah. Leaving me to Mason Plumlee as an opportunity to get in there and play. A lot of people have been going Hernan Gomez, and he hasn't cashed in. Plumlee's where I'm going to go tonight.
Any interest in the Wizards at all? Taking on Utah, or do you avoid Utah generally playing against Utah?
Yeah, unless there's a big price drop in one of the players because they're going to get more opportunity, I wouldn't drop that. And nobody's on my radar in that game. In fact, if you're going to put a few shekels on the game, I like the under in that game a lot tonight.
All right, finally, what do you like in the NFL game tonight from a betting perspective?
I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers with the 4 points. I'm going to buy the half a point and knock it down to 4, and I'm going under the total. I think the Cincinnati Bengals will struggle offensively, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will do enough to pull this one out, and I'm not real confident in this, so I'm going to tease my parlay of those two with those games there and go Pittsburgh and the under.
And finally, I wasn't planning on asking. I got to ask you, what's up with Gronkowski, man? What a jerk, man. What a jerk. I hope he gets hurt.
Refereeing.
What's that?
He's not happy with the refereeing, so he channeled his former teammate Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, real, real nice. I'd like to channel Aaron Hernandez right now, to be honest with you, or Gronkowski, but that's another story. Thanks, Tony.
Well, you know, every once in a while, you get a little out of control, Gabe. It's happened to us all once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, that's football. That's football. But you know what? When we get out of control and take his knee out next time we see him, then that, you know, that'll be cool too. That's the way it goes. It's football. Hey, thanks, Tony.
Hey, take care.
You check Tony out with Dane Martinez at 6 o'clock Eastern and on TV, and then Tony's on the radio nightly, weeknights. Weeknights at 11 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Me and Cam are on weekdays at noon Eastern. Joel Easey coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
We talked some NFL football, unfortunately. We had to. There's an NFL game this evening. Let's talk some college football. And we'll get Joe on for his weekly hit later in the week on Thursday as well to break down the bowl games and the Army-Navy game. But let's talk about the college football playoff situation and what went down yesterday. Joe Lisi, co-host of College Football Today, and GoForTheTwo.com join us on the show. Joe, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Loving life, Gabe. This is what it's all about. 41 bowl games, college football playoff. It doesn't get better, does it?
Yeah, there's a couple of really fun bowl games. I was a little underwhelmed, actually, for the most part, by the overview of the whole 41 bowls. But there are some interesting and fun matchups that we'll get to. But let's jump in right now. So Alabama gets in ahead of Ohio State. There's been a lot of discussion about this. So it was a panel of 13, includes former and current athletic administrators, including the athletic director from Ohio State, ironically enough. They break down teams into tiers, rank them, debate them, and then rank them again until a consensus is formed. And their consensus that was formed was that Alabama was more worthy of Ohio State. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's intriguing, Gabe, because I was having this conversation with somebody a little bit earlier. I mean, based off the resumes, I understand that the Ohio State faithful deserve to be in the college football playoff and be in Big Ten champions after knocking off Wisconsin. But you look at the college football playoff committee, they really were in a tough spot because I think it does come down to also TV ratings. I mean, you look at Ohio State's loss earlier in the year to Oklahoma, and you look at their 31-0 loss in the college football playoff to Clemson. If Ohio State came and made the was the fourth team in the country, I mean, they would be faced with that type of situation. And I think from a TV ratings perspective, they didn't want to do that. That's why they faced the Alabama Crimson Tide against defending national champion Clemson in the semifinal game.
I understand the arguments, and I'm sort of part of the argument of, you know, you win your conference, you should get in ahead of a team that didn't even play in their conference championship game. You know, generally when I look at it, but I do think Alabama are a better football team than Ohio State. So if the agenda is to get the better team in, I think they did a good job there. And let us not forget, last year Ohio State got in and Penn State didn't, and Penn State won the Big Ten. So, you know, this, you know, Ohio State have been the benefactors of some weird stuff, and they've also gotten screwed over as well. So it goes both ways. It's just part of college football. But I'm glad that you brought that up, actually. And I didn't tweet about that yesterday, but I brought it up on the radio show earlier in the day. The fact that Ohio State got shut out last year in the playoff no doubt influenced them as well. And saying, look,
yeah, I agree with you 100%.
We put them in again and they get killed again, it's going to look real bad for us. And everyone's going to say, they got shut out last year and you put them in again? You know, Alabama were the better team. I understand the argument against Alabama. It's funny, not against Alabama, but against them not winning. I get it, but Alabama was the better team. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not raging at Ohio State got screwed. So let's look at the matchups as we have right now. Georgia versus Oklahoma in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl is the early game, and then it rolls in. For the record, Georgia, 1-point favorites over the Oklahoma Sooners. I don't understand that move or that number. And then we've got Alabama, 1.5, 2-point favorites against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. Not the Sugar Bowl, but at the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
at the Superdome, I should say. At the Superdome.
Yeah, it's crazy, Gabe. I mean, very intriguing matchups. I mean, obviously, Alabama and Clemson have squared off in the national championship game the last 2 years. So, obviously, it's must-watch TV to see who can win the third game. I think Clemson matches up very well against this Alabama defense. So, I give the early lean to the Clemson Tigers. And when you look at the Oklahoma-Georgia matchup, that's a very intriguing matchup because it's a contrast in styles. I mean, Georgia's going to want to run the football against Oklahoma's defensive front seven, and Oklahoma's going to want to start fast, put the pressure on Jake Fromm to match them score for score with quarterback Baker Mayfield. And that's the matchup that really is the intriguing factor from an offensive perspective in the Rose Bowl. I go with both underdogs here early on. I like Georgia's rushing attack. They showed me something against Auburn. And I like the defensive front seven led by Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence going up against Jalen Hurts, still an inconsistent quarterback. So early on, I like both underdogs in this matchup.
I'm going to disagree. And I should note that Georgia are 1-point favorites, though, Joe. So
yeah, they opened up as a 1-point dog. So now, yeah, obviously, if Vegas has them as a 1-point favorite, I like Georgia early on, laying the wood, and I like Clemson as a minor 2-point underdog to Alabama in that matchup.
Yeah, there have been moves. So, yeah, Alabama's 1.5 right now. And as we speak, Georgia are minus 1. I personally think Oklahoma are the best team left standing right now. And I think in the past they haven't been able to do it, but we got Kirby Smart getting Georgia this far. Now we got Lincoln Riley doing the same. Oklahoma, plus 350. Clemson are now the favorites, plus 225, along with Alabama at plus 180. Georgia's 4-1. I think we're getting value on Oklahoma at plus 350 here still. All right, Joe, so we got a couple of minutes left. I look forward to breaking down these games as they approach. Like I said, I love college football. I love these bowl games. I'm going to be betting on all of them and watching all of them. But, you know, some of the matchups, it's like, you know, really, that's a terrible game. But we've only got a minute left here. But we got a couple of fun ones. Ohio State and USC, that's as good as it gets right there in the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. LSU Notre Dame, pretty cool bowl game as well. Auburn Central Florida. So I think, you know, the New Year's Day bowls are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, intriguing battles. You know that. I mean, Ohio State, USC, going back to the early 80s and late 70s, I mean, those matchups with Charles White back in the day were all phenomenal for Pac-12, Big Ten football. But you know me, I like the Sun Bowl, NC State, Arizona State. How about the Pinstripe Bowl? Iowa and Boston College and the Holiday Bowl, Washington State and Michigan State. It's going to be a dandy bowl season, Gabe.
Yeah, you know what? I like to go to the Pinstripe Bowl sometime, actually, Yankee Stadium. That'd be a good time. There was a rumor Michigan might be there, but we could talk about it. We got to get out of here. We'll talk about it in the future, though. I hate that. That's the thing. These ESPN things and the TV, you know, they get locked in. It's just boring. Big Ten, SEC, 4-4. Mix it up. I want to see some different matchups instead of playing South Carolina every year in the damn Outback Bowl. But anyways, we got to get out of here. Thanks, Joe.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Well, this game actually doesn't completely suck, although the Pittsburgh Steelers have owned the Cincinnati Bengals. They've won 4 straight in Cincinnati, and they've won 8 of the last 9, overall. I'm having a tough time with this game. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to hang around, but history tells us, and we all know about my history with Andy Dalton, that they're probably going to fall short at some point in time. I'm going to tease the Cincinnati Bengals to the over in this football game. And you know what? We'll add the 4 points, but we'll throw a couple of bonus picks out there after. Say, let's take a 7-point teaser to the over. Let's go over with the sacks between Dalton and Big Ben. I think there could be over 5.5 sacks here. Long field goal over 46.5. NBA basketball, the Bucks and the Celtics. Let's go over 202.5. San Antonio Spurs. Detroit, like, never win in San Antonio. We're going to play the number here. We'll lay the 3.5. Utah Jazz against the beat-up Washington Wizard team as well. College basketball, Wisconsin Badgers got to win a game eventually, don't they? Give me the +5. Give me over 135. Give me Michigan and Ohio State over 136. NHL hockey, Sharks, Caps under 5.5. Predators to get it done. -120 against the Hot Bruins. And the Flames going to beat the cold Flyers. And take the 4 points with the Bengals. And let's go over 163 with Florida State. And Florida, may the winners be yours.